busted. This here's a tale for all the fellas trying to do what those ladies tell us. Get shot down cause you're overzealous. Play hard to get females, get jealous. Okay, smarty, go to a party. Girls are scantily clad and showing body. A chick walks by and you wish you can sex her, but you're standing on the wall like you was Poindexter. Next day's function, high class luncheon. Food is served and you're stone cold munching. Music comes on, people start to dance, but then you ate so much you nearly split your pants. A girl starts walking, guys start gawking. Sits down next to you and starts talking. Said she wants to dance cause she likes the groove. So come on, fatso, and just bust the move.
Just bust a move.
Good evening, Jennifer.
Good evening, Ed.
Good evening, Josh.
Welcome to Gleeful, a Glee podcast hosted. We are your hosts. I am Josh.
I'm Jen.
I'm Ed.
It's just fun to play the round robin. Welcome tonight to Gleeful. We will be discussing episode... anybody?
Showdown?
Episode 8. Episode 8,
mashup. No, mashup.
Mashup. Yes. Sorry.
I knew the name. Episode 8, entitled Mashup. It is episode 8 of Gleeful, so welcome to it. We opened up here with a little Bust a Move, predominantly performed by Matthew Morrison, and officially Glee just became the whitest show on television. But that's okay, as we like it.
I'm confused by that statement, but okay. Not in my head.
Oh, come on. This was like the whitest rap song ever.
No, it's all part of... I was just thinking about this right when it kicked in. I was like, hold on. Mr. Schuster's musical, like, identity genre. Like... He went in the acapellas, he did stuff like this, like the 90s boy band stuff.
Yes.
Okay.
So this just perpetuates his like stuff. Like it's musical identity with the show.
Oh, so
just
his like, theme is living in the past.
Very much. I would totally agree with that. That I think and in kind of a boy bandy, like pretty boy type of way.
Yeah.
That seems to be his musical theme. A couple of great things happen in the episode tonight, which we will get to. Most notably, two solos from people that have not had solos yet on the show, so that's really exciting. And more great music. But the big theme of the episode, mashup, I guess, was the concept of two things that don't really go together being put together. The first of which that comes to mind would be Ken and Emma. Ken Tanaka and their continuing relationship, and I don't know how that's going to turn out, but I guess the main crux of the story this week was when they were trying to put their marriage together, and they were picking a first dance, and Jennifer and I have we laughed a lot, because to the listeners that listen to our other show, The Idol Review, which you can find at www.theidolreview.com, as well as AI7 in Heaven, which is Ed's other show, but if you look up The Idol Review, we had several episodes about picking our wedding song, and it's an incredibly dramatic thing. Did you hear those ones, Ed?
I've heard bits and pieces of the early on. I'm admittedly a little bit behind on yours.
Oh, it's fine. But yeah, so it that actually struck pretty close. Emma wanted I Could Have Danced All Night, and Ken wanted the thong song. But the larger theme here was really the mismatch of this relationship, and it was kind of interesting to see it go. You know, I don't know, Jen, what did you think of Emma and Ken this week? Did you think it was, do you think we're moving toward the end of Emma and Ken?
Wow, you just couldn't get that out, could you?
No, I couldn't. It's a lot of vowels in that sense.
Yeah. Yes, I can't see them really getting to the point where they actually commit to one another.
Hmm.
And it is pretty funny, though, just kind of watching them go through the motions of planning a marriage that's just kind of so ridiculous on so many different levels. Where, you know, like, what was one of Ken's lines? I made her agree to be in the same room with me when the when we're actually committed.
Yes, the
or something certified. Like that. Yeah, when it's certified.
Yes, he said, "How can I help it? I'm old fashioned like that.
I'm traditional.
I'm a traditionalist. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't. It just. Yeah, they just both seem to be going through the motions. Well, certainly her. Her actions just seem to be going through the motions. But yeah, I don't see it lasting. What about you, Ed?
I think Emma is not even secretly is hoping that somehow she's planning this wedding, that somehow, some way, it will cause an emotional response, and when she walks down the aisle in Hawaii, Mr. Schuster will be there by some miracle. Like, she's going to the edge and like, come on, catch me.
Yeah, you're actually right. She does kind of seem to be testing him or sort of forcing his hand by doing this.
So you actually, Ed, you actually think they will get to Hawaii? They've said that they would get married in Hawaii because specifically it's far enough away that no one will be
there. I just read that they were shooting on location.
Oh, there you go.
Wow.
So maybe.
the quote I just looked up was, Emma said, and Ken has insisted that we should at least be in the same room when the marriage is certified. What can I say? I'm a traditionalist. It'll be interesting to see what happens. I'm really torn because, you know, I kind of get the sense of why Emma is going with Ken, this whole settling, you know, because I don't want to die alone. But I don't really get Ken. I've said this on the show before. I don't really get what Ken sees in Emma. She really seems to give him nothing.
Well, but she's, yeah,
she's
go
so
ahead.
Pretty.
Well, she's very pretty. There's no doubt about that, but...
I don't know, I just get the impression that he thinks that if he can get her to commit, eventually she'll see that he has good qualities. More than just idolizing her and giving her everything that she's asked for.
All right, yeah, I could buy that. And he just doesn't see himself as having any other options.
Probably not.
lives at the Y after all.
I was going to say that the two of them obviously haven't looked beyond their own school for other options. This is what they do. So
you know who'd be great? Actually, I was going to try to put Terry with him, but that's unfair to Ken. Unfair to Ken. So
yeah, sticking Terry on anybody is unfair.
So. So Emma came out in the wedding dress because she wanted to test drive dancing. Unfortunately, she shows up in the wedding dress and Jennifer immediately identifies this wedding dress.
I could tell from the back of it. I'm like, oh my God, that's the Princess Diana dress. And Josh just kind of looks at me and then looks back at the screen. I'm like, and I'm just tapping him on the shoulder, like, wait for it. Wait for it.
And sure enough, she says it's the Princess Diana dress. Ed, would you have ever known the Princess Diana dress?
Actually, I was looking at the top part. It wasn't the train that gave it away. It was the shape of the top.
Yes.
It looks like what I remember the dress looking like.
Yeah, the big puffy shoulders and kind of that large ruffled collar.
That was obviously not her dress. I was like, that's... Yeah.
No, Emma has far too much style and taste to wear something like that.
I would rather her wear any of her amazing tops that she wears throughout the season to her wedding than
she
that.
She's adorable.
Oh, you know, my friend who's getting married, Nicole, she was on the show.
Uh-huh.
She's saying that a really big trend right now is red wedding dresses. So,
oh, wow.
We've seen some of those on the wedding shows.
Yeah.
Like the red. Maroony, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen some with the accent colors. In looking extensively at bridal dresses, I did find quite a few that had a lot of pink. Pink was big, so maybe red's the next. You know, maybe pink was just the transition into color, and now people are going full on red.
And so one of the hints on the mashup title, or one of the cues for the mashup title was that they had, Ken and Emma had asked Will to create a mashup of their two songs, the Thong Song and I Could Dance All Night, which was pretty genius. My mind has gone wild trying to figure out how that would actually sound, and what those two things were. You know, the The thong song is just really poor, but let's go ahead and take a listen to it. When Will went ahead and performed the thong song for Emma. This is Will, or you know, Matthew Morrison performing that song. Do you guys remember this song when it was constantly every 5 minutes on the radio?
No, I must have avoided the radio that month.
Edward, do you remember when the thong song was constantly?
Yes, I did. I was talking to someone. I was like, Cisco, that was so middle school.
Well, for me, it was college. And Cisco, who has since done pretty much nothing except for that Gone Country reality show where they tried to teach him how to be a country singer. Anyway, here's Matthew Morrison with the thong song.
What? Baby, move your butt. I think I'm singing again. She had dumps like a truck. Thighs like what? All night long. Let me see that thong, baby. That thong, thong. I like it when it be go. Baby, make your booty go. That thong, thong. Listen, that girl's so scandalous. Another guy couldn't handle it. She's shaking that thing like who's the ish, with a look in her eyes so devilish. She likes to dance at the hip-hop spots, and she cruises the cruise like an ectodot. Not just urban, she likes to pop, cause she was living la vida loca. She had dumps like a truck. Thighs like what? Baby, move your butt. I think I'll sing it again. She had dumps like a truck. Thighs like what? All night long. Let me see that song.
And of course, when Matthew Morrison performed this song on the show, that was some surprisingly solid dancing that he had there.
Yeah, I was making note of that as well. I was like, wow, he's like hip and hopping.
Yeah, and in the first song too. I mean, at this point, I'm thinking, okay, this episode's just the Will Schuster show.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, there was still so much else going on that didn't actually detract from it.
Well, let's take a move over to another one of the big subplots this week, which was Puck trying to woo Rachel. And Puck taking his cue, apparently. I had to watch this scene twice to really figure out why he was pursuing Rachel. But apparently he, what did he say? He been watching Schindler's List with his mother, and she said, "You're just like they are. Why don't you meet a nice Jewish girl?"
Yeah,
and
yeah,
so then he had a dream.
Nice, this girl.
Yeah. Oh, but I
love. He had a dream that night, yeah. And he knew it was a dream because she came in barefoot, and there was no way she could have climbed the wall barefoot.
He is so simple that way. Like, he just says stuff that you're just like, "Oh my God, are you serious? Is that it?"
His quote there was, "When I woke up, I knew it was more than a dream. It was a message from God. Rachel was a hot Jew, and the good Lord wanted me to get into her pants."
That's awesome.
Okay, so there was a scene near the beginning where Quinn called whoever the guy who slushied Finn a puckhead, and I thought, I was like, that's such a good groupie name for Puck fans. Puckhead.
Oh, yeah.
Puckhead. But then when I watched it a second time, I found out that it was actually a hockey reference. But it's still funny.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I totally took that as him to be a disciple of Puck and to be, you know, siding
no,
with him.
No, that guy was on the hockey team. So.
Okay.
So Puck was attempting to woo Rachel. And as we've learned before, Rachel, relatively easy to woo. At least
yeah.
At first.
Yeah, totally.
I believe it consisted of want to make out.
Well, but I mean, it was preceded with, my ears hurt. Can we take a break?
Yeah.
My ears hurt.
I was wondering, like, that's so harsh. You can't.
I know. Oh. And it just rolls right off of her. Like,
well, she does post on MySpace. So, yeah. To be fair.
Aw.
But so it was interesting to see kind of Puck developing as a character. You know, he's still Puck. He still says immediately what's on his mind. Mm-hmm. And he's, you know, definitely could probably use a new haircut. But I don't know. I kind of have an affinity for him. Like, at Puck's core, he's not a bad guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's continuing feelings for Quinn was also addressed in the episode.
with Sweet Caroline, Puck not only wooed over Rachel, but pretty sure at least half the female population watching the show.
Seriously.
Puck has turned out to be, like who would want to date Finn? Finn is Mr. Boring. He's bland, beige, and, like, but Puck, he's exciting, he's dangerous, and he's... And he has a good heart.
Yeah.
Well, what it comes down to is the male lead of every show is the least sexually attractive. It's always...
Well, they have to be because they have to be the most identifiable.
Yeah, it's always kind of the bad guy. It's always like on Dawson's Creek, no one wanted to bang Dawson. They all wanted to bang Pacey. And, you know, on 90210, no one wanted to bang Jason Priestley. They all wanted to bang Luke Perry. It's like the male lead always has to be exactly what you said, relatable and nice.
Not true, though. OC, I think both Benjamin McKenzie and Adam Brody had their own thing going on.
I would disagree. From what I've never seen the OC, but from what I've heard, Adam Brody was kind of forgotten on that show.
What?
I mean, I never watched it, but I just got that from something that Ira Glass said on an episode of This American Life.
Wow.
But I mean, it's really true. You know, you have to make your main character so relatable, and the lesser characters are usually more interesting because they get to be flawed.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Puck was really... I mean, we were watching the show, and I just, like, an aside, I was like, wow, he's really cute when he smiles. When he's not scowling and being a jerk, he was actually really cute. But it was so funny, because when he was singing that song, I kept seeing this cheerleader's knees in the back, like, getting closer and closer together. And I'm like, oh, Quinn's totally crushing on him right now.
Wait, I did not know that was a sign to look for.
And
take a note.
Anyhow.
Note taken.
So, yeah, she was totally crushing on him. So I was like, wow, this is going to be yet another interesting love rhombus parallelogram.
And from Rachel's side, she continues to just have an incredibly large heart. And yet, you know, definitely crazy. She did have that line. Here she says, I can't give myself to someone who isn't brave enough to sing a solo. If you don't have the guts to do that, then... How are you going to be bold enough to deal with the ups and downs of loving an admittedly high maintenance girl like me?
I thought that was really legit, even though it was totally alive, but still, it was legit.
It was. I mean, Rachel seems to know she's crazy. And I think that's one of the big charms of that character is she seems to know she's crazy. She's just embraced it and has been willing to, like, you know, just kind of recognize it as an aspect of her personality.
I can't believe you're saying high maintenance is crazy.
I'm saying it's an aspect of her craziness. I'm not saying high maintenance is crazy.
Okay. Got it.
But crazy girls are high maintenance by definition.
Ah.
But high maintenance girls are not all crazy.
Got it.
Yes.
Okay. Just clarifying.
Really? No. I'm wondering that. I think they might be.
Oh, you're saying that?
I think
they're not mutually
there may
exclusive.
Be a small minority, but I think high maintenance... You've gone into crazy land. at least on the level of, like, long term. Anyways, maybe short term.
Interesting.
Well.
Well, I mean, the fact that the high maintenance, you know, just that aspect of your personality does kind of mean that there's a bit of crazy in you that is requiring this effort.
Well.
So, you know, you have a point.
I mean, it's a result of a certain level of determination and focus and ambition.
We're way off topic.
No, those aren't those. You could be determined, focused, and ambitious, and not be high maintenance. Those aren't connected.
Well, I'm thinking more specifically her. But
oh yeah, her. Yeah, she's high maintenance. I don't even think she's crazy. I think she's just determined.
Yeah.
And people who aren't determined just see it as crazy. So
I could never relate to her.
Well, so eventually Puck and Rachel did seem to go their separate ways. They seemed to recognize that neither of them were all that interested in one another after Puck had said he would join the Glee Club and leave the football team. His quote was, God, what's the matter with me? I'm a stud and I can't even hold on to a chick like you. No offense. And then he says, why don't girls like me? And she says, because you're kind of a jerk. No offense. I mean, it was definitely, it was funny, and I know that this is television, but in real life, I'd be looking at these two people and being like, God, it's like musical chairs of dating.
Yeah. I mean, it did kind of happen so quickly.
Well, I mean, I think that's why this, I didn't say this yet, but I think this is my least favorite episode, and it's the same issue I had with the Kristen Chenoweth episode. It generated storylines and it destroyed them all in the same episode.
Yeah.
So the only progress that I feel was even made in this episode was possibly the Schuster Emma Ken thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That might have made progress, and the other thing that made progress was Quinn losing her spot on the Cheerio.
Aww.
We'll discuss that in a sec. But yeah, I mean, you have a good point. This definitely was an episode. I enjoyed it, and again, I enjoy the episodes that are heavier. Like this had more heavy emotional content, but it was very much one of those that didn't move things along very far. It was more kind of setting stuff up that will probably play out in later episodes, like the Quinn stuff, and obviously with Ken and Emma, kind of. It seemed like it was setting up their relationship, but not really taking us in any, you know, not really making a lot of distance as far as plot goes. Mm-hmm. So as mentioned before, Puck did perform a song, which he dedicated to one of our great Jewish songwriters, I think.
A musical Jewish icon.
Which, of course, my mind went in 1,000 different directions going, who is he talking about?
I know.
Which, I know Neil Diamond is totally Jewish, but I always forget because he has 2 Christmas albums, both of which my mother owns. So I always forget that, but he did perform Sweet Caroline, which pretty much won over Jennifer and all of New England.
Oh, yes.
And here's a bit of Puck performing
and again,
Sweet Caroline.
Every new Puck fan out there.
Oh, totally.
Okay.
And as someone who can play this song on the guitar, he plays it better than I do. So that actor actually knows what he's doing. I hate when actors on TV shows pretend to play instruments and it's obvious they don't actually know how, like Artie on the bass. But
see, I'm too busy watching the show to actually notice that. But thanks for pointing it out.
Well, there you go. So I want to throw props to Puck to that actor for his performance. Here is Puck with Sweet Caroline.
Spring became summer. Who'd have believed you'd come along? Hands, touching hands, reaching out, touching me, touching you.
So seriously, I really think that if you've ever written on a forum on an IMDb page, you need a hobby. I
wow.
often rail about the people that write in the forums on the Internet Movie Database, and here on...
I read those all the time. What are you talking about?
Oh my God, I hate those people.
Well, I mean, some of them are stupid, but there's also people who are informative. So
I've not seen the inform the forum at the bottom of the page where people post, like where I just went to Puck, the actor plays Puck, his name Mark Salling, and I just looked at the first post on Mark Salling's IMDb page, which calls him old. The dude's 27.
Yeah, well,
he's old for a high school student.
I mean, I guess compared to the other
tread
cast
lightly,
members.
Ed. As the youngest member of our staff.
As a high school student. I said for a high school student. Yeah, he is kind of old. Anyways, Sweet Caroline had bad memories for me because all I remember is Gatsby Archuleta doing it. So he should have done it.
I don't even remember.
I do approve of Puck's version over his.
Oh, it was amazing.
It made me realize I kind of like the song because I didn't like when David Archuleta did it.
When did Archuleta do it? I don't remember that at all.
Season 7, top 6. Or five, top five, because that was the week Brooke White went home.
I'm impressed, Ed. Well, that's hilarious. I didn't catch that. We also heard Puck called Noah more than we've ever seen before. I'd totally forgotten that was his first name.
I did too.
Right,
and it was kind of sweet when Rachel would call him Noah. So the other big plot line we got this episode was, of course, Quinn and Finn. Continuing their downfall, I guess, in the social hierarchy at their high school. There was a big downfall where they had found out that they were not cool anymore because people had begun throwing slushies in their face. What was the quote that I think Mercedes had? The slushy war is on, now no one is safe.
Right.
Oh, Mercedes' best line about the slushies, though, was right at the beginning when that the guy from the hockey team is going around and he gets the Mercedes. She's like, my weave!
I know.
that was great.
That was hilarious. I don't even know if people caught that.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I did catch that. That was great.
So that was kind of a fascinating plot line. It started with them going into Emma's office and asking, like, what they needed to do to be cool because they'd, like, forgotten how to be cool. And the quote was something I have it here somewhere where Finn actually, or Emma said, I can't believe we're saying this, but we need some advice. Or Quinn said, I can't believe we're saying this, but we need some advice on how to be cool. And Finn said, yeah, you must have picked up some ideas of what cool people do from watching them over the years. Not that you aren't cool.
Yeah.
And her response was, well, I don't have a pamphlet on being cool.
Which, of course, made me look all behind her to see which pamphlets were going to be.
You know, I didn't. I was looking at her. I swear I didn't see any pamphlets behind her.
They weren't.
They weren't behind her this time, yeah.
No, there was a bookcase that seemed awfully full.
Yeah. And then Quinn probably had my favorite quote of the episode when Emma said, well, you know, being cool isn't all that important. And Quinn said, when my mother applied to college, she put being cool as her main extracurricular activity, and she got into Arizona State. Because I know people that went there. But anyway,
it was cute. Yeah,
it was very cute. So they were not cool this episode. They first tried to wear sunglasses, which did not help.
It only helped shield the slushies.
Yeah, at least it did that. That is, I didn't think about that function.
Yeah, I thought of it more the second time, and oh my god, when they got circled by the football team and got slushied. It was just hysterical when the kid walking away ends up slipping in it.
Oh yeah, that was really funny.
See, stuff like that makes me wonder if that was intentional or if that just happened. Like, It's a Wonderful Life thing.
Yeah.
Maybe that just happened.
A little happy accident. Yeah.
They're like, that's hilarious. Just keep it.
Yeah, that was pretty great. It was interesting to kind of see, like, I can't think of a show where the cool kids suddenly became not cool. Like it seems like an unwritten law on high school television shows where, like, Zach Morris was always cool from the first episode to the last episode.
No matter what he did.
Yeah, exactly.
Whether he was in the drama club, whether he was on a sports team, whether he was in the band.
Yeah. Honestly, I think of Reba. Which was essentially the same plot line where the captain of the cheerleading squad got pregnant and suddenly no one wanted to hang out with her anymore.
Well, I mean, when I think back to my high school, there were kids on the, it was a small high school too, but there were kids on the football team and on the baseball team that ended up on drama too. And I think we were just so small, we weren't as divided into such defined categories. So maybe that was it. But yeah, I don't know. It's kind of amazing that people are turning on them. But I mean, the hockey player who threw the slushy in Finn's face did say, he rattled off a list of things that Finn did to him over the years. And I'm like, well, no wonder. This is payback. You're getting what you deserve. It just took a little while.
Yeah. And I mean, Quinn came right out and said, how'd she put it? Being cool is like currency.
Yeah.
And if you have enough of it, you'll never be wrong.
Yeah.
So
you can get away with anything.
You can get away with anything, yeah. So, I mean, they definitely do not have the loftiest intentions with this acquiring coolness.
No, not at all.
But she was afraid of losing all the homecoming queens and all that stuff. She was destined for that. And now Lee and this pregnancy has totally derailed everything.
Yeah.
All her hard work.
Yeah. There was...
Maybe she should have thought of that before she slept with Puck. Sorry.
She was feeling fat and she was having some wine coolers, okay?
Yeah, he got her drunk on wine cooler.
I don't know. She hasn't seemed to... Well, she's got a lot going on, but she's one person that hasn't kind of looked back at herself and said, well, you know what, I kind of brought this on myself.
Yeah.
Like, she's still feeling very much the victim and that, you know, this is all unfair and that, you know, everybody should still be really nice to her and worship her and fear her.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time with Finn or with Quinn for kind of that reason. Like, she's totally unremorseful of this situation and she's constantly looking at everybody and being like, why is this happening to me?
Yeah.
What, you know, what did I do that was so bad? And, you know, quite frankly, she didn't do anything all that bad, but it is kind of a system that she's, you know, been a very active part of.
Yeah, I mean, she's the one that's been creating this sort of social hierarchy.
And she keeps being really surprised every time something bad happens, like getting cooked off of the, kicked off of the Cheerios, and then looking to Finn and saying, fix it.
Yeah.
Like, make sacrifices and make this better for me.
Well, I mean, okay, it's got to come out eventually that it's not Finn's baby. And, you know, maybe then she'll have this change where she'll be remorseful and a little bit more sympathetic.
What do you think, Ed? Do you think we're in for a change in Quinn, or do you think that this is how Quinn will be all season long?
I don't know about all season long. I think after the Terry, William, Emma, Ken, Quinn, Finn, Puck, Rachel blowout... I think he's gonna, well, this is what I've thought of lately. I was like, possibly she's gonna end up keeping the baby and like she's gonna be, I eventually go a total 180. So I don't know. I don't want it to happen. I kind of like how things are, but I know it has to move on. I'm scared for them.
Well, eventually Quinn was kicked out of the Cheerios towards the end of the episode. Sue finally dropped the axe on that and kicked her out of the Cheerios for reasons that we will discuss in the next segment. But the big shocker for me, and we got an email or two on this, was the final scene with the Glee Club hanging out together and Quinn sitting off on the side, not wearing her cheerleading uniform. I didn't recognize her.
Yeah.
I felt so bad for her.
Yeah,
I didn't even know she was there. Like, I didn't recognize her at all.
Yeah, you sort of gasped at one point, and I'm like, didn't recognize Quinn, huh? I'm like, she's right there.
Well, she looks so different with her hair down. That's what Julia was saying. She's like, wow, she looks so good with her hair down. Okay.
She does. She looks pretty, and she looks much sweeter.
Yes.
She definitely comes off a little bit more more cuddly that way. I'm anxious for the confrontation between Quinn and Terry over the baby. Cause, like, I don't know what Terry's thinking, that she's gonna take this baby from somebody that everybody knows is pregnant and then she's gonna pass it off as her own. Just the whole, it's gonna be crazy.
Okay. This is how Terry sees it. She's gonna be like, she's gonna give it up for adoption. That's what Quinn's gonna tell everybody. And then Terry's going to take the baby and just, like, bribe someone for him not to, for them to fake a delivery room. Mm-hmm. Like, just give me a room. Have a nurse go in there every 5 minutes. It's fine.
Yeah, we got no Terry this episode. There was no development there.
No.
Which I'm okay with, but.
Maybe? I don't know. I'm trying to decide what made me not like this episode. Maybe it was the lack of mean Sue. Like, she was, I don't know.
Is cuddly Sue too scary for you?
It was too nice. It was. I couldn't handle it.
Well, before we get into Sue's story this episode, let's take a listen. We had mentioned on the last episode how it would. There was a question of who was going to be doing songs. You know, were we going to get songs from everywhere, everybody, or just the kids? And this week we got a song from not only Puck, but we also got a song from Emma. So once the computer starts playing it, here we go. Here's a song performed by Emma, which is
Irma.
Or Irma, yes.
Oh, I love that. I love awesome. That she can never learn her name.
Yeah. I think she just does it spiteful. Yeah, she's awesome.
Totally. So performed by Jama Hayes. This is I Could Have Danced All Night from the Music Man?
My Fair Lady.
My Fair Lady.
You call yourself a musical theater.
Hey, watch it.
I could have danced all night. I could have danced all night. And still have begged for more. I could have spread my wings and done a thousand things I've never done before. I'll never know what made it so exciting, why all at once my heart took flight.
Now I want to know from you two, because I just want to know if it was just me. Did any of you get this major Audrey Hepburn Breakfast at Tiffany's moment?
Oh, totally.
I was like, I don't know if it's just the imagery. I don't know what it is. Or the dress.
Oh yeah. Know. Well, the way she had her hair done, the gloves. It was totally. She was totally channeling Audrey Hepburn, whether it was from My Fair Lady or Breakfast at Tiffany's. Oh, totally. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I guess because Audrey Hepburn was in My Fair Lady. That would make sense. I didn't get that. What?
Oh, you didn't get that?
I didn't get really? That. And ironically, we watched Breakfast at Tiffany's like 3 days ago.
Yeah. Josh had never seen it before.
But no, I mean, that definitely makes sense to me. I could totally see the connection why they would do that. So the other plot this week, Sue Sylvester's plot this week, was that she had fallen in love after one date with the... with the lead anchor on her show.
Creepy, creepy man.
Which usually, I worked in news for a while, and usually anchors on television are really bad because they're just not, I just don't think they would ever work in an actual news setting. Like as much as I love How I Met Your Mother, the anchors on that show are always incredibly unbelievable. But I thought this guy was really funny. I don't remember his character name. Do you remember his name, Ed? The anchor that Sue fell in love with?
No, I just... Oh. Maybe. Oh, see. Things not go so well with Tom.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. What did I remember him? I remember Will saying that, but I can't remember.
Well,
oh, wait. You just had.
Oh, did I just have it?
Oh, well, you just had the quote where when she says, "Schuster, I'm going to need that by 5 and da 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 da.
Oh, kitty cat.
Dave? Oh, my God. That was the best rant ever.
No, I didn't think it was going to make that turn. I thought you were going to go, and then I'm going to take your cat. But no.
Yeah, no. Here it is.
Well, that's the thing. And it is... Okay.
I'll need to see the set. This is after... So Sue became really nice, and then at the end of the episode, she became really mean again after she fell out with the guy. And her quote to Will was, "I'll need to see that set list for sectionals after all. I want it on my desk warm from the laminator at 5 p.m. And if it is 1 minute late, I will go to the animal shelter and get you a kitty cat. I will let you fall in love with it. And I will let you fall in love with that kitty cat. And then on some dark, cold night, I will steal away into your home and punch you in the face."
I love it, because it's not like she's doing any harm to the cat. She's not threatening harm to the cat. She's just going to, like, be nice to him and then punch him in the face.
And we're all expecting her to be like, "And I will kill the cat."
And I was going to say steal it back, but...
No, I'm kill sounds about the right caliber. Yeah.
We got a couple of emails about her quote last week, Sue's quote last week, when she said... When I sold my house, I went into the backyard and I sprinkled salt all over the grass so that nothing would grow back there for 100 years. Why did I do that? Because they tried to make me pay their closing cost.
Yes. Crazy, crazy Sue.
So Sue fell in love, and then the man she fell in love with on their first date said, "You know, Sue, I like to swing."
Yeah.
And so she took swing dancing lessons. Apparently, Will has lots of time. Like, this is the Will who used to have no time to do anything, and now he has time to give everyone lessons on everything.
Well, because Terry doesn't want him around.
Yeah, that's
it's
true.
It makes complete sense.
Because he might want to touch her belly or something like that.
Yeah. How dare he? But that was kind of a crazy episode, or that was kind of a crazy moment where we had a big dance number to Benny Goodman, doing Sing Sing Sing, between Sue and Will. And I thought it was a dream sequence. I was stunned.
Yeah, so did I. I was like, is this a dream?
Yeah, I totally was waiting for him to wake up, or her to wake up, actually. I was thinking it was her dream, and like she would wake up and then be even more angry at him. And want to destroy him even more.
Yeah, that was pretty insane. But the dance sequence was so entertaining and so good. They were really fun to watch.
Oh, they were great.
So they danced, and then it turned out she was taking swing lessons because she was trying to impress this guy. They were going to go win a swing contest, and sure enough, it turned out he was could not be tied down to one woman, dating many people, and he dumped her, and she became good old classic evil Sue.
Absolutely. But I loved when he looked at her, and he's like, well, why are you dressed like that? And she said, it's for our thing. And he said, only the men wear the zoot suits. And she just said, further embarrassed. Like,
that was funny.
I actually felt bad for her.
Yeah, I felt bad for her too. It was interesting, like the whole episode, I'm going, where's Sue? Why isn't she, you know, wreaking havoc over everything? But it was also kind of nice to see Sue not, like, that there is another side of her.
Yeah.
Like, she does have the ability to not be evil. It's just not really, you know, it's not in her DNA. It takes a little work. So that was kind of Sue's thing this week. And sure enough, it ended with her going to Quinn and saying, take those glasses off because I want to see your face when I tell you this, and kicking her off of the Cheerios.
Yes.
Which was a big deal. I suppose we all knew it was coming, but it was still kind of shocking to see her kick Quinn off the Cheerios.
Well, I thought she wasn't going to kick her off until, like, it was absolutely, like, not... She doesn't even look like she's pregnant right now.
No.
Totally doesn't, yeah.
They must get to a point where, you know, it's got to be coming that she's... that the belly is going to develop, but...
Well, actually, now that she's wearing civilian clothes, like the dress that she was wearing at the very end, she could easily hide a baby bump for a while in that.
That is true. It could just be a matter of time. So that's pretty much it for this episode. What else did we forget anything in this episode, Ed?
Yes, you did. So there was the there's just one joke that was really funny. When Kurt splashed himself with a smoothie with a slushie.
Oh God, yes.
At a smoothie shop. That place, whoever sells those slushies, must get a ton of business. For people who don't actually consume their beverages. So it doesn't even matter if they're good. The monkey heads or whatever are making you do this. And he said, and then Finn was like, well, they probably would have taken it better if you wouldn't have announced it in the shower.
Oh, yes.
That you quit.
He said, I'm sure they're mad at me for quitting. Yeah, and they probably would have taken it better if you hadn't announced it in the shower. Well, Ken had had a line, too, where he'd said, we didn't win our only game this season because we danced. We won because we played as a team, and no one can win a war by themselves, even if they're covered in nukes.
Yeah.
Even if they have nukes strapped to their body. You had fun. You had mentioned something this episode, Jennifer.
Oh, I just I thought Kurt was great. I thought he had probably the fewest lines out of most of the main characters, but everything he did, like every scene he was in, was just really great. Even when in the Bust a Move song and Will's kind of, you know, starting to, you know, grind on him, but you know, kind of get up next to him, and he just sort of rolls his eyes and walks away. He was great.
Yeah.
The slushy scene was great.
And, yeah, that was, that was for me the most effective scene this episode, was when he threw the slushy in his own face and said, now go see if your football friends would do that for you.
Yeah, I mean, he seemed to be the only one who could really get through to Finn. And, you know, in Finn's inability to make decisions for good and not just selfish, fearful reasons. So, yeah, I thought Kurt was great this week, and I loved his raincoat.
his see-through raincoat.
That was awesome. But, and Emma had some great quotes too, but all wedding related. So I had kind of a more personal interest.
What were you going to say, Ed?
Oh, I was going to say, see now how it feels. Oh, we got an email last week. We were talking about the eels line.
Yes.
And someone responded and said that was from the diary scene with Sue. Here she is, almost 30, on the brink of 30.
On the brink of 30.
Talked about her hovercraft full of eels, which apparently originated from something that I can't remember right now.
Oh, essentially she had said, now I can't afford my hovercraft. And then he was crossing the reference with a Monty Python joke, which was a hovercraft full of eels. It was very complicated. It was a deep joke with many levels. So thank you to everybody who emailed us. If you'd like to email us, you can do so at gleefulpodcast@gmail.com. A couple other emails we got from Anna, who had said, I think it's hilarious, or you think it's hilarious that people listen to you in Australia? Well, I'm Brazilian. So that was exciting, and she loves the podcast.
Awesome.
So thank you very much. Very nice email from Don't Call Me Dora, there's just too much great stuff here to really quote, but she just was really nice of her to email. What are you saying? Oh, and she said OM Glee. That's why I highlighted this one, because she said OM Glee.
And you know, I'd like to thank especially everyone who uses OM Glee, because I suggested it as the name of the podcast, and Joss thought it was too dorky.
Well, we'd already chosen the name at that point.
Well, I know, but I was like, that would have been a better name. And he was like, too dorky.
Wow, so. I never heard that one as a consideration for the podcast.
But other great emails we got. Very special thanks to Camille and Ashley. A very special thanks to listener Jamie, who designed a website for us.
Oh my God.
That was incredibly cool. And I'm doing my best to incorporate that into our website because she just did some incredible work. And so hopefully we'll have that up in the next couple of days. So thank you so much to Jamie. And we got an email from listener Nanette, who's a listener off of our other show, the Idol Review. And she had read on Entertainment Weekly that possibly Madonna was going to be guest starring on Glee, as well as Adam Lambert.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
That would be awesome.
So that would be interesting. There does seem to be a lot of possibility for crossover between Idol and Glee, not the least of which that they've performed.
Speaking of Idol
songs.
Crossover with Glee, I read on the news that the core cast of Glee is doing a tour.
Yes.
After the season's over.
They'd mentioned that before, yeah.
Yeah, and then they've got a few other big appearances coming up. They're going to be singing the national anthem on game 3 of the World Series baseball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was something else. Well, you just kind of, your eyes glazed over. Sorry, it was a rough night last night for the Dodgers.
It was. Baseball doesn't exist to me.
Okay. So, but there was something else. I forget what else they're doing.
I have read that Puck and Rachel dating. The nickname for them is Puckashell.
I've heard Pruck.
Pruck.
Or like, yeah, Pruck.
Interesting. Do you have any iPod or iTunes commenters this week, Ed?
Oh, so many. I don't even know. Like, there's so many. Comac, CCA, Elizabeth, Beastie, Kate, Talent, Loves Glee, Disney Princess, JB Place, Erica. Thank you so much for your iTunes reviews. Please do it if you haven't. And thank you so much for listening. I'm very proud. I know, I'm sure Josh is greatly proud. That we got to number one on TV and film this week. And I know, well, obviously you can't stay on top forever, even though it would be nice. So I'd like to thank everyone who made this possible. For sure.
It is pretty amazing, I have to admit. I downplay it a lot with Ed because, you know, it's just my way. But the fact is that, you know, between the three of us, you know, Ed and Jen and I think we've got, we've all been podcasting for probably 3 or 4 years now. And this show has just exploded and it's just been great. So thank you to everybody who's listening and for being a part and for emailing us. If you'd like to email us again, the email address is gleefulpodcast@gmail.com. And you can check out our other shows. Jen and my other show is entitled The Idol Review, which you can find at www.theidolreview.com. And then, of course, Ed has his show, AI 7 in Heaven, which you can find if you Google that and on iTunes. And, you know, there's links to it on our website, which will hopefully be looking much sexier in the coming weeks, thanks to Jamie, listener Jamie.
Yay.
And that's pretty much it. Do we have anything else, guys? Ed?
I'm excited for next week.
All right. Jennifer, anything else?
Nope.
All right, well.
Just excited.
On that note, let's cue up the background music as we say goodbye for the Gleeful Podcast. I've been Josh.
I'm Jen.
I've been Ed, OMG Jazz Hands. Peace out.
Have a good night, everybody.
Good night.
This here's a tale for all the fellas trying to do what those ladies tell us. Get shot down cause you're overzealous. Play hard to get females, get jealous. Okay, smarty, go to a party. Girls are scantily clad and showing body. A chick walks by and you wish you can sex her, but you're standing on the wall like you was Poindexter. Next day's function, high class luncheon. Food is served and you're stone cold munching. Music comes on, people start to dance, but then you ate so much you nearly split your pants. A girl starts walking, guys start gawking. Sits down next to you and starts talking. Said she wants to dance cause she likes the groove. So come on, fatso, and just bust the move.